Grace, mercy, and peace to you, Ellen and Bruce, Elizabeth and Dale, Mildred's family, her friends, and the saints that call Emmanuel home. You just heard the question, do you believe this? That's the question that we all have to answer. Now, this morning as I was finishing up preparations and yesterday as I was kind of vetting out the ideas for the sermon today, I thought, what am I going to preach today? So I took into consideration the hymns that Mildred requested that we sing this morning. Hymns like, I Know That My Redeemer Lives in Amazing Grace, and the closing hymn of A Beautiful Savior. And I thought, I took into consideration the scriptures that she wanted me to read to you today that she picked out herself. And I began to realize that Mildred also constructed the bulletin that's in front of you this morning. The order of worship. I've been a pastor for 18 years. I've never allowed that to happen. Because she even intimidated me, I thought it was appropriate. But I realized as I was going through the hymns and the lessons and the liturgy, I realized that Mildred had one more lesson plan that she wanted to complete, even at the time of her death. You see, true to her calling as a teacher, a desire that was placed upon her heart years ago, she turned this sanctuary this morning into a classroom, and each and every one of you into her students. And there will be a final exam. But I believe more than anything else, she wanted each and every one of us to learn the most important lesson of all. So this morning she would ask me to open up her favorite textbook, which is God's Word, and read to you a few passages of Scripture from the book of Romans. The first one is this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and none is righteous, no, not one. Now a lesson with Mildred would not be complete without some math exercises, so I decided I'd throw that in as well. And so let's imagine for a moment that there is someone who is a good person in this room today. I mean someone who's really good. Do you think they sin? Well, Scripture says all have sinned, and so therefore, how many times a day do they have thoughts that they shouldn't think, words that they shouldn't say, and deeds that they shouldn't do? Let's be gentle and say three. So three times a day times 7 days a week equals how many, Mildred? 21. 21 times a week times 52 weeks in a year. I got a calculator out to determine it was 1,092. And for Mildred, she lived 95 years, so 95 times 1,092 equals 103,740 sins in her lifetime, and I want you to know that she is a godly woman. Over the last several years, as her health declined and I was required and desired to go see her in her home, the Communer, I went out there once a month. We always had good conversation. Sometimes it was by the marker board, because some days she couldn't hear anything. And then she'd ask me not to yell at her. But I would scribble on the board, and whoever took it over, thank you for that. And I would erase and I'd write. And you can't keep your thoughts in your writing, and my spelling's terrible anyway. I know. But we would talk back and forth. And before too long, we'd get to the point, we'd start talking about why I was there. We'd have a devotion together, and then I would begin to celebrate Holy Communion. And part of it, as you know, is the confession of sins. And I would ask her that 19, I think it's 42 question, do you humbly acknowledge and heartily lament your sins? And she would always say yes. Because she knew, in spite of the fact that she was a good and godly woman, that she too was a sinner. And she knew that she had fallen short of the glory of God in her thoughts, her words, and her deeds. And she also knew from the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. The question is, what do you get wages for? Now, if your boss don't pay you, I know exactly what you'll say. I get my wages for doing work, and I better doggone well get my wages. But God's Word says that we get wages for the things that we do in this life. We earn them And it's not on the good side, it's on the bad, because of the sins that we commit, thought, word, and deed. Even one sin requires eternal damnation, just one. And we are gentle to say she had 103,000 some sins in her 95 years of life. One lesson Mildred wants you to know, that more than anything else, is that everyone is a sinner, including herself. She knew that September the 5th would come and that death's own stream would wash over her and she would be swept into eternal life. It's been several years ago, there was a program out for evangelism called Evangelism Explosion. And I know many of you went through that program, and the question was, if you remember, if you die today, would you be sure you'd get into heaven? Well, that's the question today. If you died today, are you sure you'd get into heaven? And most people would respond, well, I think so, but I'm not sure. Because deep down in our hearts, we all know that we fall short of God's glory. In the things that we say, the things we think, and the things we do that aren't according to God's will. Oh, and by the way, sins of omission too, the things that we should be doing that we don't, and thinking that, you get the point. The second lesson Mildred wants you to know today is in the area of citizenship. Yesterday, while visiting one of our shut-ins, I shared with her first that Mildred had passed away, and as all things in Emmanuel, she already knew that, and the funeral is today. And as we visited for a while, she said that Mildred had sent her piles of cards over the years. Cards and letters, words of encouragement, because this particular shut-in has suffered with many bouts with cancer and many other physical ailments that were life-threatening. And she had told me that if not for the encouragement of Mildred, that she wasn't sure how it would all turn out, it meant that much to her. And I found it even more extravagant because the fact that Mildred was struggling through her own physical ailments, but yet she was still there as a good citizen, giving those words of encouragement to somebody else. I cannot remember a visit to Mildred's apartment, and at some point in the conversation, our words would turn to her family. And literally, you surrounded her. There was pictures of you guys everywhere, and I was telling the family downstairs, I've never met you and I know you. Some of you are taller than I thought, but the reality is I know you. And she would say, I pray for them every day. She would remember each of you individually in prayer every single day. She said, yeah, you too, Pastor. And I said, Mildred, I need the prayers, thank you. But not only for you as family, but as her friends and even just casual acquaintances. She would sit in her chair and she would intercess with God on our behalf. You know, even after retiring from teaching, she busied herself by leading numerous Bible studies, not only here at Emmanuel at Lancaster Manor across the street, but I understand at Christ Lutheran, because she had a deep desire to teach other people. And once I came to her apartment for a visit, and she was there with her Bible open on her lap, and she was on the telephone with her brother, and she was reading scriptures to him, who was also in a nursing home, because she loved him. This is just a fraction of the things that she did that I even knew about, and so many more that I didn't. She knew what it was to be a good citizen. But the reality of the lesson she'd want you to know more than anything else is that citizenship can't save us. Our good deeds do not save us. If that were true, Mildred had accumulated enough that her treasure of merits would save us all. But she knew in the end that good works didn't save. It would take more than that. But Mildred also would want you to keep in mind this morning a history lesson. One of the most unique things that Mildred did upon my visits to her apartment, she always insisted, and I mean the word insist, to move that small round table by the doorway from where it was sitting over to where we were communing at. It had a cross of Jesus on it. Now, if the legacy staff wasn't so kind to move it, she would ask me to, which was fine, and I would move it over. I'd always make sure it was sitting right in front of us as we received the Lord's Supper, because for Mildred, the cross of Christ was a vivid reminder of a history lesson for her. Though on that hill far away stood an old rugged cross on a place called Calvary, where Jesus Christ suffered and died for her. See, Mildred knew that the heart, core, and center of human history revolved around the events of that day some 2,000 years ago. And for Mildred, the events of the life of Christ, from his virgin birth to his sinless life to his scourging, his suffering, his death, it all spoke volumes about his love for a poor, miserable sinner such as she. Each time I visited, we would visit and recall the most important events of human history that we'll confess in a moment, but that we believed in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, a God that is so big, who's created everything, the stars and the planets and everything that we see. And that we also believed in his Son, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And that she had also confessed the work of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately at the end, that she believed in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. She simply believed. I think the third lesson she'd want you to know is the significance of the passion history and the life of forgiveness for each and every one of us. You know, to know Mildred Conkling was to know a woman who had tremendous passion for teaching. And I see a few of the faces of her friends that were also in education and family members that are pursuing or involved in education. And you know, a good teacher never gives up. I could tell you volumes about what a terrible student I was and how Mrs. Horn never gave up on me, and she was the principal. But you know the story of a girl by the name of Helen Keller. A woman that was born not only blind, but also deaf. It makes it really hard to teach someone who's blind and deaf. And teachers tried, and many of them gave up. But there was one woman by the name of Annie Sullivan who saw the unlocked potential of this young girl and began to develop a system of touching to create a way to communicate. See, Miss Sullivan never gave up on Helen in spite of all of the tremendous physical obstacles that stood between her and an education. Well, you know how the story ends, that Helen was the first blind and deaf person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree, and that is amazing. But that wasn't enough. She was a prolific writer, and she was inducted into the Alabama Women's Hall of Fame in 1971 and was one of the first 12 people inducted into the inaugural Hall of Fame for Alabama's Writers Hall of Fame. Amazing person. It was all made possible because of a teacher. A teacher that never gave up in spite of all that held her in bondage. You know, I share this because I know Mildred would want more than anything else for you to know that you have a compassionate and loving teacher in Christ, who in spite of all the times we fall short of his glory and we act in ways that are not godly in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, that he never once has given up on us. Then it was upon the cross of Calvary, he was there to suffer and die for each of you individually. You know, as a pastor, I find it a great joy when we do baptisms in the font here. And I love the fact that God baptizes us individually. This isn't like super soaker. This is, you take hold of each person individually and pour the water of baptism. It's as if Jesus' hands himself are reaching around you and pouring the waters of forgiveness, ushering you out of sin's darkness into the light of the glory of God, into the family of God. You know, I love the fact that as we confess our sins before our Heavenly Father, that he individually forgives us. Oh, you hear it corporately as a call ordained servant, I forgive you all your sins. But it's the voice of Jesus that you hear forgiving you. A voice that even though her hearing was gone and going, she heard the voice of her Savior, her teacher, who never once gave up on her. I like how individually we kneel at this altar like she did so many times. And she placed forth her hands, received the very flesh and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all of her sins as God's way of not only reminding her, but of assuring her that her sins are forgiven. The fact of the matter is that Jesus hung upon the cross as the scourging had taken place and he was there, his life was ebbing away, that he had Mildred on his mind. And in doing so, each and every one of us. I told the family downstairs, it has been a privilege to be her pastor. I got to show love to her that I wished I could have showed to some teachers along the way in my own life. But the reality is, as I saw in her, a woman of great faith that never ever wavered. As death drew near, there was moments of some anxiety and some thoughts, but in the end, she trusted in the promises that God had made unto her. This morning, I guess the lesson that she wants to make today to each and every one of us is the fact is the faith in Christ that's needed for eternal life. To trust in Him, His suffering, death, and most importantly, His resurrection for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And that He recreates us in spite of where we have been and what we have done. That He never gives up on us. And the best part of it all is, through faith in Jesus Christ, we will see her again. This isn't goodbye. This is simply, I'll see you in a little while, Mom. I'll see you soon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, and the final exam question is, do you believe this? Amen. God has made us His people.